Congregation, just a few minutes ago we witnessed the baptism of Morgan Kennedy. And after the readings that we've just had, you might ask, why was he baptized rather than circumcised? After all, in Genesis 17 we read that circumcision was the sign of God's everlasting covenant with his people. Some would ask, why was he baptized at all? What is baptism? Is baptism just a wet naming ceremony? If there's more to it than that, what exactly? What does it mean? Well, friends, the early New Testament church was very familiar with questions like these. For different reasons, these questions pop up in the New Testament letters written to different churches. And one such church was the church that met at Colossae, which we've just read from. In Paul's letter, he answers some of the questions they had about circumcision and baptism. I trust this morning, as we look at those very same verses, Paul will answer some of our questions as well. Let's begin this morning by asking this broad question. What's the big deal about circumcision anyway? Why was it such a big thing? Why was it so important? After all, in Galatians 6 and verse 15, Paul writes, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts as a new creation? Or in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul writes, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. And if those were the only verses we were going to look at this morning, you could get an impression from those verses that circumcision was never a big deal. But that would be going too far. We read in Genesis 17 before that it was a very important part of the relationship that God established with Abraham. This is my covenant with you, the covenant you're to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. There are at least three reasons why circumcision was a big deal. And the first is that it was a badge of identity. A badge of identity. Down through the ages, from the time of Abraham through to the time of Jesus, circumcision, the removal of the foreskin, was an important badge of identity, an identifier. It showed who belonged to the people of God, who was us and who was them. You go to the footy and there's bound to be a loud, boisterous section of the crowd wearing pale blue tops. And immediately you know who they are, aren't they? They're identifying themselves as New South Welshmen. Those of you who follow real footy, not this funny version where after you've had five attempts to get across the line, if you haven't managed it, you just hand it over to the other team. I mean, real footy. My team colours growing up were red and black. Who can tell me? Red and black, that's not Hawks, but Crusaders, I heard somebody say. The Canterbury Crusaders. When I lived, who are they? When I lived in Christchurch, I painted my letterbox in red and black stripes. I belong. I identify. That's my team. And friends, that's a bit like what circumcision was like. It was a symbol of belonging, a badge of identity. It showed who belonged, just like these stickers I gave out to the kids before. It showed who was a part of the club. There's a second reason why circumcision was a big deal, and that's also because it spoke of living life for God. Living life for God. We've already seen how it showed who belonged, but who was part of that special relationship the Bible calls that covenant. But circumcision did more than that. It went on to show the obligations, the requirements of that sort of a relationship. The Jewish people quite rightly saw that having a relationship with God wasn't just all take and no give. It was a two-way street, not a one-way street. They rightly saw that God's people have an obligation to live life for God, an obligation to obedience. There's one other relationship in the Bible that's also described as a covenant, and that's the relationship of marriage. And a marriage is the same. It's not all take and no give. A husband and wife have responsibilities towards each other, obligations, commitments. And the same is true of our relationship with God. God calls us to obedience. And for a Jewish son, circumcision represented the very first element of keeping God's law. It introduced him to the requirements of living under the law, even before he knew what the law was. So circumcision was the beginning of a life to be lived for God, an obligation to God, living life for God. There's also a third reason why a circumcision was such a big deal, and that is inward and outward matter. That's what it teaches us, inward and outward matter. See what circumcision was all about. What it was like an illustration, really. Just like my sticker this morning. It was an illustration in the cutting away of the male foreskin. It was picturing something more than that. It was picturing the cutting away of sin. What it reminded us and what it reminded God's people back then was circumcision was never meant to just be a once-for-all action. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt to prove it. It wasn't supposed to be like that. It wasn't just a literal physical thing that you did once. It went beyond just being an outward thing like wearing a sticker. Reminded us what life in general was to be. In other words, as the Bible goes on to explain, physical circumcision in the Old Testament reminded of the necessity of something more important than that, spiritual circumcision. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16, God's people were told, circumcise your hearts. If you're taking notes again, in Jeremiah 4:4 and Ezekiel 44:7. And the idea, you see, isn't that circumcision was just minor surgery performed on the eighth day. But the true circumcision involves more than that. It involves the heart. That God's people were to show by their actions that their hearts too were dedicated to God. The outward physical sign was a sign pointing to something even more important, the need for inner spiritual renewal and new life. And so, friends, circumcision was indeed a big deal. It was a badge of identity, a sign that pointed about how we need to live life for God. And it showed that it's not just an outward thing, but the inward matters as well. And with this understanding of why circumcision was such a big deal, we're ready to think secondly about Christian baptism, which we could think of as circumcision remixed, remade, done over again. Paul, writing in our text to the Christians at Colossae, says, "In Christ you were also circumcised." And the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. The majority of the Christians living in this place in the Roman Empire called Colossae didn't have Jewish passports. They were just people from around about who had heard the message of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. They believed that message. They accepted the testimony of those who had been eyewitnesses, just as you might do or I might do. And of course, since they hadn't been born Jews, they didn't have Jewish passports, they hadn't been circumcised at birth. And yet, you notice there, Paul says, in Christ, you were also circumcised. On the one hand, their circumcision is a very different kind of circumcision. It's a no-hands circumcision. Not an operation performed by a priest, but performed by the Spirit of God. No longer something merely outward, but something inward as well, an internal work of the heart. And so in one way, we could say their circumcision was very similar to the way in the Old Testament. We just saw how circumcision pointed to something more, a spiritual circumcision, a cutting off of the old way of life, welcoming new life found in Jesus. That's what Paul means when he says, in the putting off of the sinful nature. Christian circumcision isn't just a cutting away of skin, rather it's a cutting away of an entire way of life. Cutting off a way of life without Jesus and putting in its place a life living for God, life lived for God and in keeping with his will. And here's where Paul brings the symbol of baptism into view now. He says, for the Colossian Christians have already been buried with him, Jesus, in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. What Paul's saying here is that baptism is the new sign. It's the new sign of God's relationship with his people. Baptism is circumcision remixed, the outward sign in the water of what needs to take place inside. And through this new sign of God's promises, we're identified with Jesus. We wear his badge. We're identified with Christ. Being in him, we share in all that he has done for us. We've died to sin and been raised in new life. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, a new symbol, a new sign, a new picture seemed and became very appropriate. A sign that pictures the way in which our sins, all the wrong that we've ever done against God, is washed away, just like water washes away dirt from the body. A sign of rebirth, of cleansing, renewal, washing, of purity. The new sign means that Paul, therefore, can tell us elsewhere that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matter any longer. Those opening verses we saw. For a new sign has come, a better sign, a broader sign, not just something for boys, but a sign for all of God's children. So what does that mean for us then? We could put it thirdly, what's the big deal about baptism then? Three things. Baptism is for our children. What does it mean for us? What's the big deal? Baptism is for our children. As our confession explains, our children are included in God's promises. And just as children ate the Passover meal back in the Old Testament, the sacrificial lamb was promised for them as well as for their parents. And so too, since Jesus died for the sins of our children as well as for our own sins, they also should receive the sign of forgiveness of sins in Jesus. What's more, baptism is for our children because of God's promises to his people. Way, way back, thousands of years ago now, God promised to be Abraham's God. And not just Abraham's God, he promised to be God of Abram's children and his children after him as well. And just as Abram's children were circumcised to show that they belonged, so too our children are baptized. They're given the sign of baptism to show they belong. They get a membership sticker. And friends, Morgan's baptism this morning is a sign to us all that he's not a stranger in our church. He's not just observing. He's not just a visitor. Morgan belongs here. God is his God. Morgan is a part of God's people. Baptism's for our children. And secondly, baptism is also valuable. It's valuable. Someone might well say, and you've probably heard something like this, well, how could baptism be of any advantage or any benefit to someone like Morgan when doesn't even understand it? He was asleep the whole time, or pretty much. He didn't cry. He enjoyed the warmth, but he didn't understand it, did he? He didn't have a clue what was going on. Of course, the same thing could be said of circumcision back on the eighth day. Except I'm sure the babies didn't sleep during that either. But nevertheless, Morgan's baptism is a sign that he belongs, and as such, it has value. But the value isn't magical. It's not a magical value. The waters of baptism do not in and of themselves save anyone. Rather, the value comes when baptism and faith walk side by side. Physical circumcision, back in the Old Testament, without anything going on in the heart, was sore at the time and ultimately worthless. All it did, if there was nothing going on in the heart, nothing ever went on in the heart, all it ever did was serve as a witness against someone. You see, that they carried around with them in their own body the sign that they'd been set apart to live for God, to serve God in the world. But they weren't, if there was nothing going on in the heart. It'd be like wearing a wedding ring and being unfaithful. A visual reminder that you're being unfaithful to God, if you didn't live for him. The very same thing's true for us today as well. Baptism, you see, only has its chief value when the heart's committed as well. When baptism is joined, however, in faith to the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. That means as parents, JP and Nicolene as well, you've got this responsibility to teach Morgan what baptism's all about. To lead him by your life and your witness, your teaching and your actions, so that he'll see what it's all about, and so that his baptism this morning won't be a witness against him in years to come. Rather, it might be a faithful symbol, a faithful sign of what God promises to him, the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. So baptism is valuable. It points us to these things. Shows us the necessity not just of having water, but the heart as well. And that also reminds us this morning of a third and final thing, that baptism is a call. Most of us who are here this morning, although perhaps not all, most of us have been baptized. And our baptisms this morning are a call, a message, a call from God that goes out to each of us, a call to live for God, a call to respond in faith to God, a call to put off the sinful nature that I struggle with in my life day by day, a call to put off the old life, to do so daily. You see, just as circumcision reminded God's people that their relationship with him wasn't just a one-way street, our baptisms remind us of the same thing today. That God calls us to live as his people in the world. That God calls us to walk in newness of life. That God calls us to keep his commandments. For that's how faithful love expresses itself. Our baptisms teach us that God calls us to faith, to believe and to trust. Baptism, like circumcision, is a one-off event. For Morgan, that's happened. It's happened once, never to be repeated again. But unlike that one-off event, our baptisms, friends, call us to a life discipleship, lifelong discipleship, not just to be God's people, putting up your hand, I've got a sticker, I'm a member of a club, but not just to have a sticker, but to live as someone who has a sticker, to make our baptisms not just wet christenings, but real and of the heart. This morning God calls each one of us to value our baptisms, and to respond to the call. You are God's baptized people. So now, go and live as God's baptized people. Amen.